Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hop-Ons podcast. Colin here. Regrettably, this week we do not have a new episode. John and I had extremely busy weeks, and we could not find an appropriate amount of time to record our thoughts for Season 2, Episode 15. But we didn't want to not put something on the feed this week. So what you're about to hear is a conversation John and I had recently about non-superhero comic books. If you listened to our last episode, you probably heard us preview or tease this a bit near the end of the episode. It's something he helped me do for my other podcast, the Cluttered Desk Podcast. And if you're anything like us, and we suspect that our listeners are perhaps from time to time a little like us, we thought you might like to hear this conversation. So that is what you will hear in just a moment. John and I talking about non-superhero comic books. John made a lot of interesting points about why non-superhero comic books have difficulty competing with their superhero counterparts. And in the show notes, you'll see a link to the full episode from the Cluttered Desk podcast. John is not on that, but if you want to hear a continuation of this conversation and a broadening of this conversation, we strongly encourage you to click that link and give it a listen. But we will be back next week for Season 2, Episode 15. Of course, we would like to thank everyone for all of your support. We always receive interesting emails, comments on Twitter, likes and retweets, so just please keep doing that. We always enjoy hearing from you, and if you haven't taken a chance, please give us a like, write a quick review. It doesn't need to be too long. Retweet, tell your friends. That would really, really help us. So, without any further ado, we hope you enjoy this conversation about non-superhero comic books. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cluttered Desk Podcast. It's mini-episode time. However, Andrew and I made a huge mistake. We forgot to record the mini-episode. This is for Season 5, Episode 5, but I have a very capable podcaster here to help. He's not the podcaster we deserve, but he is the one we need right now. His name is John Phelps.
Hey!
John, you'll remember him from our Pulp Fiction episode maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
He agreed to come on and said a lot of really interesting things about Pulp Fiction and helped us better understand the movie. So, John, in this episode, we talk about three non-superhero comics.
Yeah.
Sex Criminals, Black Magic, and Killer Be Killed. And you would probably like Killer Be Killed. It's an Ed Brubaker.
I love him,
really good. We read the first collected trade for each book, and these are still ongoing. So for Killer Be Killed, that's issues 1 through 4. For the other two, it's issues 1 through 5. And as I said before we started recording, you're someone who knows his way around a comic book. You have a lot of experience with both superhero and non-superhero comics. Mm-hmm. I would argue one of the best non-superhero comics I've read in this past calendar year was one you recommended called The Fade Out, which is also Brubaker. An Ed Brubaker. Yeah. I was wondering if you could just talk to us briefly about what you think are the main or principal challenges for non-superhero comics. Because I told you before we started recording, I was doing a bit of research about the best-selling comic books from one month to the next, and it's all superhero, DC, Marvel. Occasionally, The Walking Dead will pop up. Occasionally, a book called Saga will pop up. The most cockamamie conceits, things like, well, what if Robin had sex with Harley Quinn their child was a supervillain? That is somehow selling more copies than some of these really great non-superhero books. So talk to us a little about this. What do you think are the big challenges for non-superhero comics?
Yeah, I think it's new readers are constantly coming in every month, and they're going to go to titles they recognize. That's a huge deal. Fan base is the biggest thing. And, you know, these are – we're talking about superheroes that have been around since 60s. So there are people – and I would say most of the people that are buying those comics are guys in their 40s, late 30s. I mean, that's most of the people with a pull list. I used to have one. And they are sticklers about, I want to know what's happening in Batman. I want to know what's happening in Spider-Man. I don't give a shit about these other things. And I think that is the biggest hurdle that new books have to jump over. Because let's go back and think since the beginning of Marvel DC Comics. Can you think of any big non-superhero comics that have ever been popular until like the late 90s, early 2000s? Because I can't. I can't think of any. I know the first ever non-superhero comic I read was called Rising Stars. It came out in 99, probably, and it was written by Michael Straczynski, who had a great run on Spider-Man. He created Babylon 5. That's a little weird. Anyway, it was about 100 people that were born – that were in utero when a comet came over the Earth, and they all got superhero powers, okay? And they – and as one died, they all got more powerful. So there was one, like, serial killer superhero killing all these other ones. Fantastic. But nobody's ever fucking heard of it. It won every award. It won, like, the Eisner Award. But because it doesn't have this dedicated fan base from the fucking 60s or 70s, 80s, it's not going to do anything. There's no movies made about independent comics except for, like – Hellboy, I can't think of any.
Ghost World,
but that was way back in the day, and nobody watched that. V for Vendetta is so different than the comic in almost every single way. And I mean, it's got to be fan base. The original OG fan base is what keeps those comics up and these like great independent reads way down, I think.
I think that makes sense. I was also thinking, you mentioned film, and that's what I wanted to talk about too. The number of films about superheroes and the number of films that market themselves as adaptations of comic books, that certainly allows potential new readers to walk through the door, so to speak, with a little less hesitation because at least they feel like they know something about what's happening. But I think you're absolutely right. Iconography and the degree to which the Batman logo is recognizable, where some of the comic books that we read and talked about, they don't even have logos, right? It's not like Sex Criminals has some kind of unambiguous piece of iconography that anyone could identify, but Batman and Superman totally do.
Yeah.
And that's really, really challenging. And I suppose someone would need to be a dedicated purveyor of non-superhero comic books to even know that these exist, because it doesn't feel like there's any way into these kinds of conversations unless you're already part of this community.
Yeah, and that's a huge issue. And, you know, Marvel is really losing their ass. They have been the last few years as far as financials go with comics, because they consistently, after 10 weeks, make another number one. So, like, they'll have all this – I'm getting into this great run of Spider-Gwen or something, and then they're like, we want new readers, so cancel it, make a new one. And they've done that over and over and over, and readers are just, like, dropping off slowly. And I think that's a huge deal, because Marvel doesn't understand that people are into stories now. Like, you're wearing a Stranger Things shirt because Stranger Things is amazing, but it's this great new IP. And, like, Paper Girls is a perfect example of a great new IP that people don't know about. But it's a lot like Stranger Things. It's got in that same vein. So
I really dig Paper Girls. I've read the first two trades.
Yeah, the third one just came out.
Did it really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And I mean that's where we're at right now. People like millennials and people our age are looking for things that have a good story and have good characters. I don't give a shit about if Spider-Man's got a good arc and is a good story, that's great, but I don't if he's like punching the Green Goblin, I don't care.
Yeah, that's one of the things I noticed and I really like X-Men, so if I'm reading a superhero comic now, it'll probably be X-Men, because the characters are so remarkably interesting, and the books rarely devolve into, let me punch this person in his turkey neck, right?
Right, sure.
It's there's so much more to it, and of course there's some of that. There's something quite satisfying when Wolverine unsheaths his adamantium claws and says, let's go, bub.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's always fun. But
that was a great Wolverine, by the way.
Thanks, buddy. But I think you're right. I don't want just another story about this antagonist punching this protagonist, right? That gets really boring and really tedious.
DC and Marvel are learning. I mean, they're always going to stick with their bread and butter and like those people that have pull lists and get stuff every week. I mean, every month. But for us, for like new readers, we want shit that's out of the ordinary. Like the Fade Out's something that is directly up my alley. It's like that was written for me, exactly. And I'm glad that you got to get it. And I hope that people should check out more indie books. They're the best things.
Yeah, the Fade Out is great because it's a period piece.
Yeah.
And it's Brubaker. I've not read all of his work, but what I have read, he is unapologetically earnest in almost everything he writes, almost to the point that it opens him to questions of misogyny and sexism. Mm-hmm. Because in The Fade Out, it's this period piece set in old Hollywood, and the way female characters and characters of color are described is just awful, and if you're not careful, you might conflate what's happening in the book with the author's sensibilities. But I think you'll really – I just brought John the third volume, which is the final volume. That volume helps to contextualize everything happens in the previous two issues in ways that I found really, really satisfying.
Cool.
And to see him tell – and this is one of the things that I do find difficult about superhero comics. I like my stories to have an ending as well. If it doesn't end, then I don't understand – what are the stakes, right?
Yeah,
without
exactly.
an ending, stories need consequences. And the way stories in superhero comics are perpetually moving forward, right, and not resetting themselves, that can become cumbersome to me.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Well, John, thanks again for doing this.
Yeah.
I know you just said The Fade Out. Is there another non-superhero independent comic book? You also mentioned Paper Girls, which is
great
that you can think of just off the top of your head that you,
yeah, if you haven't
think
read,
people should check out.
Yeah, you mentioned Saga. If you haven't read Saga, you should.
Okay.
If you dig like Game of Thrones and Star Wars, if it was directed by like David Lynch, that's basically what Saga is. It's fucking bananas. Any Hellboy book, I don't know if you Mike Mignola is a really great writer and his art is so fucking rad. I would go with that. And also like Rising Stars is cool. I mentioned that earlier. Check that out. All of Alan Moore's shit. Alan Moore did a fantastic run on Swamp Thing, who I don't think is a traditional superhero. And if you can find those, there's 5 graphic novels. Alan Moore wrote them in the 80s. It's the best fucking thing you'll ever read. It's so good.
So our friend Brian, who he's our comic book historian in resident, because Brian, I think I've told you this, he's read all of the Silver Age.
Oh yeah, you did tell me. Yeah. That. Yeah, yeah.
Brian has spoken to us about Swamp Thing before,
man.
And how remarkable it is.
Yeah,
so
Alan Moore's
I think you
Swamp
should
Thing, yeah.
you should excuse me. You two should probably talk because I think you would probably find a lot of things in
common. Yeah, I'm sure.
So
yeah.
Excellent. Well, for the Clutter Desk podcast, my name is Colin Cox. The full episode should be up in a few days. And here to help me this week,
I'm John Phelps. Hey.
Okay. Thanks a lot, buddy. Have a good
man.
Day.
Thank you.